This past Monday, Brother Harold Amstutz and myself, we went to Lumberton, North Carolina, and met with Joey Salz, who's my nephew, and then another couple that is field directors for the United Methodist Church Disaster Relief going on in Lumberton, and a couple by the name of Ann and Jeff Wade. And as we shared kind of what we're looking at and what we're trying to look for in helping out, they were sharing their heart and what brought them there. They've been living there for 2 years in a travel trailer, coordinating. He's a construction manager, and she would be like, they would both be field directors, and she does a lot of the scheduling and so on. And what they do is they match volunteers coming in with the skills that they have. They will house the workers at the Methodist Church. They will not mix two groups together from different organizations just because it said it just so often doesn't work. And they don't try to make any judgment or question why that would work or why it would not work. He told us very clearly in our conversation, he said, when y'all come as a group, I don't care what time you start in the morning. I don't care what time you knock off in the afternoon or how late you work at night. He said, when you come, I will have whatever work you want available for you. I'll do my best to work with you and for you, but I don't care when you start. I don't care when you quit. He said, you are there working for Jesus Christ. You are working for the cause of the kingdom. He made it very clear. He said, you are not working for me. He made it very clear that all he was there for was to facilitate those coming and to make it easy for them. I looked at that man and wife team and I was like, they found purpose in life. They found the niche that Christ Jesus wanted them in for such a time as this. This morning I've titled my message, Are You Safe? And as you look at that and try to think over what that means, you can be turning in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to go through the first seven verses real quickly this morning. And if Jeremy, you'll put up 1 Corinthians 15, 58, and 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. And I would like us just to recite this together, starting with 1 Corinthians 15, 58, all together. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Thank you, Jeremy. This morning I have 3 points that I want to look at. I want to look at the first one's being be firm, the second one is to be active, and the third one is to be calm. And I don't know how many of you do it when you read a book that is a story, and you'll take and you'll look at that book and you will cheat. And you'll go to the end and you'll see how the end result is what the final chapter of that book says. I would like to do that because I don't like all that suspense hanging on me all the way through the book. And so this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to go down to verse number 7 in Philippians chapter 4. And I'm going to read that and talk about it just a little bit. But it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense until we come back and we look at the verses prior to that. But let's look what Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 says. It says, and, or you could put in there, therefore, or the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. To me, that sounds like somebody who is living in that condition would be living in safety. There's not a one of us today that don't think about our safety. There's not a one of us that don't think in this world that we're living in that when we go to school, when we go to work, when we go to the grocery store, when we're at the gas station, when we're at home, are we going to be safe? And if we allow it, it'll consume us. It'll worry us. But to have the peace of God that passes all understanding, that will guard your heart, that will guard your mind through Christ Jesus. I was so grateful for Brother Clayton, what he shared this morning in Peter there, where it talked about us resisting the devil, that we, you know, often we're told that we need to flee from Satan. No, we do not need to flee from Satan. We need to stand firm and we need to resist him. And we do not resist him in our own strength, but we resist him in the name of Jesus Christ. And that is where we will find our safety, brothers and sisters. When we have that knowledge of who Christ is, we have that knowledge of what he's done for us. And then we act out on that knowledge. And when that peace floods through our hearts, when that peace that we have in the midst of turmoil, in the midst of all kinds of things going wrong in your life, people are looking at you and they know that there's things going on in your life. They know that this is happening. They know that this is happening. They know that you've had reversals going on. But yet, you've got this deep, settled peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. People are not going to figure out what is going on. They're going to want to ask you, what in the world is going on in your life? How are you able to do this? And what a perfect opportunity it gives us to tell us, it's not me. But it is that Holy Spirit of Christ living in and through me. That my joy is not dependent upon my circumstances, but my joy is in spite of my circumstances. Let's move back to verse 1 in chapter 4. Now, I alluded to this earlier in a previous message. But he says here, therefore, my beloved brethren. And when he talks about beloved, he means this is somebody who is very near and dear to his heart. These people at the church of Philippi were dear to Paul. He could not get to them because, as I understand it, he was under house arrest at this point. So he could not just be free to come to them and to minister to them and to assist them and to help them in their struggles. But he said, my joy, dearly beloved, he said, you're my crown. He said, you're my family. But he says, to stand fast or to stand firm in the Lord. And each one of us, we need to hear that no matter what, we need to stand firm in the Lord. There's times in our lives that things come up that we want to throw in the towel, we want to give up, but we have to be told, maybe from another friend, to say, you know what, just hold on, it's going to get better. Just hold on, I'll be here with you. I'm going to give you the help that you need to get through this time. Let's read verse 2. It says, and I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Evidently what was happening here, there was two ladies, and it's thought that these two ladies were deaconesses in the church there at Philippi, and there was something going on that probably none of us here would understand would go on between two ladies, right? But there was something going on. There were some disagreements that were happening. There was something that happened, and it's thought that the disagreements wasn't anything to do with doctrinal issues or something that this lady believed in what the Scripture said. This lady was violating what the Scripture said. Therefore, there's this disagreement. Because instead of that, Paul would have addressed it to the one lady specifically to say, you need to get yourself straight now. But he didn't say that. But let's look what he said in verse 2. He said, I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labor with me in the gospel. So these were ladies who had assisted Paul earlier in the work of the church. And he says, I urge you also, true companion. He doesn't identify. This true companion is a person. This is someone who Paul was able to call on and to say, I need you to help me here. I need you to go to these ladies. I need you to try to work this thing through and to walk them through with it. And this morning, as I look at myself as being a pastor, as being a leader, there's times that I can't be there. There's times that I can't be there to help in a situation. And I'm so grateful for the care group leaders that we have, because there's times I call and I say, could you go over? Could you go take care of this? Could you? And it relieves the pressure and the burden off me. Saturday a week ago, I was in North Carolina and I couldn't get down here. But Leo, having lost his wife, he was struggling. I made one phone call to my brother Amos. I said, Amos, on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock, I said, would you be able to just check up on him? He spent 3 or 4 or 5 hours of his Saturday afternoon on short notice. Something that I was not physically able to do because I was not close enough. These are truly companions that are true companions in the faith. I think the King James calls these people true yoke fellows. These are people who we have, brothers and sisters, who are in the yoke together with us. They're running with us. They're walking with us. They're in tune. And they're there to help. And that's who this brother was here that was a true companion. He said, help these women. Help them get through their struggles. Because what it was doing, it was causing distraction. It was causing dissension. And it was evidently something that was a minor thing, but it was causing problems. It wasn't like these ladies were coming in from the outside into the church and causing problems, but they were somebody from the inside. Well, let's go on. Verses 4 and 5 we want to look at and think about being active in serving the Lord. Verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And what he's saying here, brothers and sisters, is like, in case you didn't understand, I want you to be joyful. I want you to rejoice in who you are. I want you to rejoice in the position that you have in Christ Jesus. And he's like, in case you don't understand it, again, I'm going to tell you, rejoice. And he says always, which would tell us that if we're going to rejoice always, that means we are going to be joyful. We are going to be that person who is sold out to Christ, who is going to walk in spite of our circumstances. We're not going to give up. Because every one of us, we face times in our lives when we don't feel like moving forward. But how many times will it help when you are fighting a battle and someone comes alongside of you? That's what we're here for, brothers and sisters, to be true yoke fellows, to be true companions one to another. And he says, rejoice in the Lord always. It's not dependent on your situation in life. It's not dependent on whether things are going good or not going good. And the key to rejoicing is, as we grow in our Christian life, as we grow in our knowledge of who God is, and we do that through the study of His Word, and as we study His Word, the Holy Spirit speaks to us as we meditate on what we have read and what we've studied. And the Holy Spirit will reveal Himself to us through His written Word. And what a joy it is, what a blessing it is to be able to find all the answers to all of our problems, to all of our needs in His Word. Verse 5 says, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. This does not mean that we go around and we tell people what kind of a gentle person I am. But it does mean that by my life, people will sit up. They will take notice because they know that not everything is going right in your life. But yet, you have that peace, you have that calmness about you. That is something that the world knows nothing of. We are to be known by that, to be gentle. We're to be known by our graciousness. John MacArthur says, gracious humility runs counterculture to the cult of self-love that was rampant in the ancient society and is also rampant today in modern society. How true that is. Focusing on self-love, self-esteem, and self-fulfillment leads only to greater instability and anxiety. On the other hand, those whose focus is not on themselves cannot be knocked off of balance by inequity, injustice, unfair treatment, lies, or humiliation. They can say, I am content whatever the circumstances. And he goes on to say that spiritual stability belongs to the graciously humble. There's not a one of us here this morning, brothers and sisters, that would not want to say that we are spiritually stable. But it comes from a deeper relationship and a greater knowledge of who God is and continuing to learn and to grow and to study and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in and through us. And our third point of being calm, verse 6 and 7 would tell us, says to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't be anxious, but always be praying. He says your prayers and your supplications, and a supplication is a prayer that's, it's almost like a pleading or a fervent prayer. It's like, God, I don't have any other recourse except you. And I'm bringing these cares, I'm bringing these petitions to you, my God. And think so often, we think when we pray to God that we're going to be giving him information. That is not the point of our supplications to God, is not to give him information, because God already knows everything even before you're going to be going through it. But he wants us to ask him. And so often, unless we ask, we don't receive. But we have to go to him and say, God, here's the need. And he listens. He hears our prayers. And then we drop down to verse 7. Now verse 7 hopefully will make a little bit more sense. It says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When we stop and we consider, what does it mean to have this peace that passes understanding? What does it mean to have a mind that is settled? A mind that is in Christ Jesus. It gives us a feeling of safety. Not that it changes anything in the world out around us, because the world that we live in is a very unsafe place. But this morning, we have the privilege of giving our cares over to Christ. We have the privilege of allowing him to rule and to reign in us. We have the privilege of just giving ourselves completely to him without even understanding everything about what he asks of us. And when we do that, he says, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind. Jeff and Ann Wade, as they're serving, I think they are one couple who has found their place for such a time as this in Lumberton, North Carolina, serving Christ through serving others, giving of themselves and without any thought of return. And when they do that, the peace, the assurance, the joy that comes into our lives is, you can't describe it. But it creates a sense of safety, knowing that we are in the center of God's will. We've got the walls of Christ built around us. We've got him watching the door, that nothing can come at us, because we give ourselves completely to him, which is what he wants. The God of peace will guard and keep you. This morning, are you safe? Are you allowing that deep, settled peace of Christ Jesus to rest on you? He wants each one of us to have that. And the way that we continue to grow in that is through his word, through the study of his word, through understanding and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us through his word. Are you safe? Does his peace surround you? Does his peace guard you? I trust that each one of us can look at ourselves and see, where is it that I am not giving completely over to Christ? And therefore, it causes turmoil in my life. And each one of us, the story is different. But this morning, can we allow the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, to guard our hearts and our lives? Shall we stand for closing prayer? Father in heaven, this morning, we do thank you again for your word. We thank you that your word is truth. And God, as we look into it and as we understand who you are and who we are and how you care so much for us, help us, Lord, as we continue our lives, that we'd be willing to give ourselves over completely to you. That we would daily crucify our own selves and our own desires, and to allow you to work and to move through us. I pray your blessing upon each one of my brothers and sisters here this morning. As we leave from this place, would you help us to honor you with the things that we do and the things that we say. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.